We'll have more on that coming up later on this hour and beyond. Turning our attention now, though, to not just Tar Heel sports, but sports in general, with March Madness beginning yesterday with Radford and St. Bonaventure both winning their play-in games. A couple more games in action tonight, including the NC Central Eagles taking on Texas Southern this evening for the right to face Xavier in the round of 64. That game gets underway at 6:40. Duke taking the court on Thursday. UNC taking the court on Friday. And with March Madness beginning, we are joined now by Dr. Deb Stroman of UNC, a long time basketball star, coach, and commentator, for a breakdown of March Madness as we get into the real part of this month, the second half of it, when March Madness really gets underway. Dr. Stroman, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. It's an exciting time, but it's always a challenge for people who really, really love college basketball, because you're trying to figure out how to get your work done and see multiple games. The technology is out there, so you can even hide your screen from your boss. You can have multiple screens going, laptop, desktop, smartphone, which used to be called second screen. But it's an exciting time for people who really love basketball. And there's no doubt that Tobacco Road, the ACC, having 9 teams in the tournament this year, and the ACC is currently on the greatest 3-year NCAA run in the history over the tournament. So it's just an exciting time for everybody who loves basketball.
Absolutely. I do appreciate your willingness to continue to do work while watching basketball. Most people don't even get far enough to keep trying to do that.
Well, I think they're just kidding themselves. I think it goes back to some of that research where they say they're doing their work, but their mind is somewhere else. And if they weren't watching basketball with this other eye, they probably would have better output, better production. The writing would be much clearer. There would be less grammatical errors. But we're trying to focus on 2-3 things at once, and something's got to give. And I can't imagine many people who are into college basketball want to miss some of these early games to try and call the upsets. But it is an exciting time. And, you know, the ACC, we got a record 9 bids. But last year, the same thing happened, and 8 of them lost on the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And just 3 of them lost in the opening game, and, of course, UNC won it all. But overall, the ACC won 11 games last year. They're matching the most of any conference. So this year, it's going to be really interesting.
So let's sort of break it down, and then we'll talk about UNC and Duke and NC State and NC Central, our local teams, and their chances heading into the tournament. But just big picture, with now 66 teams left in the tournament, the round of 64 will be set after tonight. What are the big stories, and who are the teams that everyone is following? I know one of the big stories is Virginia as the overall number one seed, but they're going to be down a man heading into this tournament, right?
No doubt. Very, very crushing. As you know, I am definitely a part of the Wahoo family with my Carolina degree as well. But that's where I played basketball. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very near and dear to my heart. And so it's been interesting following the UVA fan boards, everything from DeAndre Hunter wasn't that valuable to the team early on when they were beating everyone. And his position is such that others can step in particular our local guy, Jay Huff, mm-hmm. who went to the Durham Academy, who's a 7-footer, who Coach Bennett has not been playing much this year. So fans are saying, next man up, give Jay Huff a chance. Let's keep it moving. And then on the other side, you have people who are looking at statistics, looking at how DeAndre Hunter has been able to break down post players. He guards two players. He guards threes. He guards four. And a lot of people have just given up hope and said, let's hope that we get out of the first round. But other than that, Virginia's just snake bitten, like a few years ago when Justin Anderson was injured, and that hurt UVA from going to the Final Four. I can imagine most people around the country have changed their brackets. I've seen a few things change to Villanova being the favorite now instead of Virginia.
So what are the other sort of big storylines heading into this?
Well, no doubt big story has to be Michigan State. Just the history of that program, Izzo, and I know you really like Michigan
yes,
State,
yeah.
Near and dear to your heart, but just their post-play, you know, the thought was maybe having to go against Virginia at some point, but Michigan State plays against more teams that play that pack line defense in the Big Ten. So they're the story. In fact, it's kind of weird. With technology now, Sports Illustrated magazine sent their magazines all across the world. And because of technology, now they can change the cover based on your region. And here I am in Chapel Hill, and I received the cover with Michigan State on it. So I said, wow, Michigan State is really, really a story. Some of the other things, of course, Michael Porter, considered the number one pick this year coming out. He just came back from a very, very tough injury at Missouri, and people are saying that he is unguardable, and now he's back. He's going to make a difference. And, of course, Arizona, with the NCAA, FBI, all of that big investigation with Adidas and giving money, and the coach on tape in a conversation around giving money. Nothing's been proven yet, but people feel that they are highly talented. They should have been a number one seed. And then there are those who say, why is this team even in the mm-hmm. – why were they even given a slot for the NCAA tournament, considering the big cloud that's hovering over their program?
And they've got, like, a big advantage now because Arizona, they got to get past Kentucky, but they could meet Virginia in the Sweet 16, right?
That's exactly right. And Kentucky has, once again, a team of starters who are first-year players that are playing really well right now. But they are young, and now this is a different level of pressure. But certainly they have the talent. They can match up with anybody on the court based on just talent. But we know pressure basketball, March Madness, is just completely different. And if they do end up with Arizona, it's definitely going to be a major, major story to see a program that has embraced one and done against a program that now has a cloud over them with arguably one of the best players in the country on their team. So it's going to be really, really interesting, this southern region.
And we got Dr. Deb Stroman on the line talking March Madness. So let's get local and talk about the four triangle teams that are in the tournament. And let's start with NC Central. Lavelle Moten and his team are in action tonight against Texas Southern. One more play-in game at 6:40 for the right to take on Xavier in the first round. What do you think about NC Central?
Well, the big story for Central was winning the conference tournament. Mm-hmm. They were the number six seed. They beat Hampton. Hampton was, you know, everyone thought they would go out in style. This is their last year. They're moving over to the MEAC conference. But Central did a major upset. And hopefully they'll be calmed because the good friend of Lavelle Moten is Mike Davis. And there are only two HBCU conferences that get an automatic bid. And it's the SWAC and it's the MEAC. And so the two, they very rarely play each other, and they thought there's no way they would match them up. But Mike Davis called Lavelle, Coach Moten, and said, you know what, I think it's going to happen. And so people are really going to pay attention to this game in a very sad way. The winner plays number one Xavier in Nashville, Tennessee on Friday. But they're excited. They're ready to play. They know that Texas Southern is going to be very, very tough because they play one of the toughest schedules in the country. Texas Southern played Kansas, Syracuse, Oregon, Clemson, and Baylor, and TCU. So it's going to be very, very competitive, but with this momentum going on right now, I would not be surprised to see Central pull it off.
How about NC State? They're the 9 seed in Kansas's region, so they got to get past Seton Hall in the first round, and then Kansas looms, and this is a game that'll be played in Kansas in the second round. Do you see NC State getting out of the first round, and what is their chance of making it beyond?
Well, that 8-9, that really is a pick 'em. Both teams are 21-11. NC State is making its first appearance since 2015 and the 27th overall. They're small. And they don't particularly rebound very well, and they like to shoot the threes. So it's going to be a high-scoring game. Second chance points might make the difference. But NC State coach Kevin Keats, he's a big believer in possessions, as in taking the most shots, similar to North Carolina in that we're going to outshoot you. We're going to have more shots per game. In fact, he's been quoted as saying that they're hoping to get 15 more shots than the other team. It's really a pick-em game. If you love the ACC, regardless of the rivalries, you'll pick NC State. But it's going to be very, very challenging for them to beat Seton Hall.
That's the Midwest bracket, and that seems to be the bracket of death in terms of really high-profile teams all getting in. You got Kansas as the number one seed. Michigan State is the number three, and they're my pick to get out of that bracket and make the Final Four. You've got Duke as the number two seed, though, too, and that's mm-hmm. a potential national champion as well.
Exactly right. It is a very, very difficult bracket. People are thinking that since Oklahoma got in, which a lot of people felt that they did not deserve, I think they've only won two games since the beginning of the year, but they have arguably one of the best guards mm-hmm. in the country in Trae Young, And they said if Trey and Oklahoma can beat Rhode Island, then they're going to be on a mission. And it's going to be very, very hard to stop them. It's definitely going to be tough for NC State, but NC State did have some big, big wins this year, so they're not going to back down to Kansas at all. But I'm real concerned as to whether or not they can get out that first round. Kevin Keats, you know, he got great experience last year playing against Virginia in the first round, so he's going to have his team prepared, but it is definitely a pick-em game.
So after all of that, let's break it down to UNC. We got Lipscomb in the first round Friday at 2:45 in Charlotte, so that's an advantage for us. Lipscomb is going to be kind of a sentimental favorite because this is what their first time ever, I think, making the NCAA tournament. And then Texas A&M or Providence after that, potentially Michigan in the Sweet 16, and then you've got Xavier, Gonzaga, Ohio State all potentially looming. You mentioned Missouri as a potential sleeper there in the top half of the bracket in the Elite Eight. How far do you see Carolina going in this bracket? Do they make it all the way?
I see this all the way to the Michigan game, and then the Michigan game, it would be really tough for us to beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. They're definitely a different team than the team that we played earlier. They have a lot of momentum. They did really well in their tournament. But I see Michigan and North Carolina is going to be one that's going to be really, really tough. I do love how the bracket has played out in the sense that Xavier and Gonzaga are in the upper part of the West. So we can kind of, I don't want to say sit back. We have to compete. Every game matters. And it's March Madness, so you don't know who actually is ready to play and who might upset. But I like the fact that Xavier and Gonzaga are in the higher part of the Western bracket. But everyone's looking at the heels to get back to the Final Four. They've got, you know, as you know, all top five scorers are back. They're mm-hmm. veterans of the championship team from last year. Luke May being acknowledged as an academic All-American. So hopefully as he continues to study well, he will also study his X's and O's. Joel Berry is, you know, just a killer in the tournament. He goes to another level, very physical play. He loves to finish. But I'm thinking about Providence in the next round. They might be the first round upset alert. People don't think that, you know, having I think they had a 5-8 mark against the quadrant one teams, but their losses, two of them were against Xavier, mm-hmm. which is the number one seed, and one against the Villanova, and they took Villanova to overtime in the Big East championship game. So if we end up matching up against Providence, that could be a big, big test for Carolina, and certainly the home court advantage being in North Carolina will be very, very helpful.
I got Dr. Deb Stroman on the line. And Deb, before we let you go, the question that everyone always asks when it comes to the NCAA tournament, who do you have in the Final Four and who wins it all?
I've have to redo my bracket. You know, the brain and the heart say Virginia. But then with the loss of DeAndre Hunter, I have to pull back on the brain part and just be a sentimental win. North Carolina. I think, you know, there are certain coaches that have a system that is ready for March Madness, and I'm a firm believer in Roy Williams and what he does. He, you know, what he learned from Coach Dean Smith and then his own addition to that strategy is to have your players have such a strong belief, almost robotic-type play, that they match up with every team in the country, and they're always ready to execute. And if they lose a game, it's because they did not execute. But there's no one out on the court that doesn't know what they're that is not aware of what they're supposed to do. Whereas some teams you watch, it's like, what are you doing? But Carolina, they're very much system ready. So I would like Carolina in the Final Four as well. You know, you have to find a team that how did they get there? And I think it might be Texas Tech. I saw them earlier this season, and I was very, very impressed. I know they're going to have to come out of the East against Villanova, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Texas Tech. And then on the in the Midwest, I just do like Kansas. Solid program, again, great players there. And I don't know if Duke can beat Kansas in the Midwest. I know Marvin Bagley would like to send off in a very great way. I know Grayson Allen, as a senior, would like to perform well, but Kansas is just strong. And I think they're deeper than Duke.
And your national champion?
I'm gonna go away from the easy one, and I'm gonna say what happens if we have Texas Tech win it all.
All right. All right. Yeah. If they win, you heard it here first.
That's right.
Dr. Deb Stroman,
thank
you.
They better not get upset in the first game.
That's what always happens to my pick. They lose in the second round, and then I'm screwed the entire rest of the way. Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you so much.
Thank you.